Maybe that's not some of your style. And I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody. But some people like chocolate, some like strawberry, and some like vanilla. But we're going to praise the Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Doesn't matter what your story is or how you want to tell it or how you want to sing it. I want to shout it from the mountaintop that I once was but now am. I remember that morning of November the 29th, 1977 in the living room of my home when the Lord drastically and radically and instantly changed my life. And I'm not going to shut up, sit down, be quiet, or conform to religiosity. I'm going to tell the lost and the hurting and the lonely and the broken that there's a God that loves you just like you are. He loves you too much to leave you like you are. He wants to change your life. He wants to come in and cause you to begin to have hope and cause you to begin to have peace. You know, we're in a chaotic world, in a chaotic time. In case you hadn't discovered that. And I've got news for you. I'm not a pessimist, nor am I an alarmist. But according to the Bible that I read, as the day of the Lord approaches, it's going to get worse and worse. It's as good as it's going to get, folks. And I'm talking about society. But God will always have a remnant of people. I hope you're one of them. That trust in the Lord with all your heart and leans not into your own understanding, but is a God seeker. And one that will hear his voice and simply obey what he said to do, regardless of how small or how large the task. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will not allow more to come upon us than that which we're able to bear. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, we are Christian soldiers. We are in a fight. We are in a spiritual warfare. Don't let it get in the flesh, but do the battle in the spirit. Come to God. Get in your prayer closet, wherever that may be. Mine's at the barn. My horse is almost saved. But you need to get in your closet and you need to... What does the word say? The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I want you to know that some of you are in a battle tonight. Some of you are facing defeat if you don't get up from where you're at and do what you know God's told you to do. Last week we talked about being a hearer of the word and being a doer of the word. Both of those people in that story heard, but only one of them did. And when the storms came, his house stood because it was built on the rock of God's word. Tonight, I want to admonish you. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Don't let the devil get the upper hand. You need to bring captive the thoughts that you've been thinking, because the thoughts that you've been thinking have been driving decisions that you've been making. And you've been making some bad decisions. And the bad decisions have got you in a jam. In a tight spot. But it ain't too late to back up and hit your knees and cry out to God. And to watch him come on the scene. And show up and show out in your life and in your circumstance. And in your business and in your marriage. And in your personal life with addictions and problems. Listen, this is no time to play church. This is no time to have religious games and to wear a smile and inwardly be crumbling. Don't you be a Humpty Dumpty that falls off the wall. You recognize who the God is that's in you and recognize who you are in him. Don't you let the weapons that the devil has formed that come against you. Don't you dare let them prosper. And you don't have to let them prosper. How can I do anything but just say, God's mindful of where you're at. You need to be mindful of where He is. And you need to run to Him. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and there they are safe. When it goes to getting hot, don't you run from God, you run to Him. When you mess up, don't hide from Him like Adam and Eve did in the garden. Run to Him. He knows that you messed up anyway. I love the story how God walked in that garden and He said, "Where art thou?" He's been a seeker of man ever since the garden. And He's still seeking those who are lost, those who are broken, those who are wounded, those who are hurting, those whose lives are in chaos, those whose marriages are in shambles, those whose businesses are about to crumble. He's still in the business of saying, run to Me. Run over here. I remember one time at Life Tabernacle Church, I was interim pastor over there, and I got there early to turn the air conditioners on and unlock the doors, and I walk up to the front doors over facing 70th Street there in the curve by Forest Park West Cemetery, and I saw a car turn around real fast, and the guy's walking down the road, and I unlocked the door, and I pushed it open, and I heard pow, 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 and I said, run this way. This guy came running, and I'm talking about he was picking them up and putting them down, Nate. You hear me? I don't know that Usain Bolt could outrun him. That lead zinging at his hiney, he was hooking them. You hear me? And he runs up in that church, and I won't get into the whole story, but his name was Isaiah. About to be a victim of a drive-by shooting in front of a church. And some crazy pastor said, run this way. And he runs that way and he comes in, and I heard, met him, and I says, Isaiah, with a name like that, I bet you got a grandma or a mama somewhere praying for you right now. And what you need to do is you need to go over there and get on that telephone, and you need to tell them where you're at and what's happened and how God has answered their prayer and spared your life, because there's no way those guys were supposed to miss you from where they were sitting when they were shooting. All them little gangbangers, they shoot like this. You can't hit nothing like that. Pull down near me. But I'm here to tell you tonight, when the enemy is firing at you, run this way. Run to Him. Run to Jesus. He's a shelter. He's a strong tower. He's a strength. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm not going to be long tonight, I don't think. Peter said he thought I was done. Chapter 11, verse 28. Man, I love to hear those pages turn. Thank you for bringing those Bibles, sword. Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, from Me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and My burden light. The words, come to Me, all resonate in my heart. You see, in life we have a way of getting tired and wore out and weary. That's why the Lord, I think, put scriptures in the Word such as, not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. You see, it's not about just starting the race. It's about finishing the race. It's not about a sprint. It's about a marathon. It's about looking unto Jesus, pressing to the mark, working with everything you have, physically and spiritually and mentally, to discipline this body, this old flesh, to crucify this flesh so that we can walk in the Spirit and that the flesh won't prevail. You know, I'm just going to, this is called, don't answer that. This is called the flesh. This is called natural, the natural man. As you can tell, there ain't no Botox or no nothing here. It's all natural. A lot of money invested right there. But we have to get to a place that this natural man becomes submitted to the supernatural God, so that we can do the supernatural in a world of natural people. You see, I love it when Jesus says, "These things that you see me do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do, not because you're greater, but because I go to my Father." Some people get real nervous when you start talking about the miraculous. Get over that, because I want you to know the greatest of all miracles is the miracle of salvation. What is a miracle? A miracle is something that's simply impossible for man to do, and you can't save yourself. The greatest of all miracles is the miracle of salvation. But because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, hadn't grown old, weak, feeble, senile, he still has the ability to heal, to deliver, to set free, to give peace, to minister to whatever need it is that you have. Yes, I'm aware that some men, wolves in sheep's clothing, the Bible talks about it, has commercialized the gospel and has made some big mistakes in misrepresenting a righteous God. But that does not take away from the fact that God is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I expect God to do supernatural things in my life, in this church, in your life. I love to hear testimonies. You wouldn't believe probably the testimonies I hear that as people file out of here every Thursday night of answered prayers. I expect it. Why? Not because I'm somebody, but because we serve the one that's somebody, the great I am. We serve the one that is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. So get past the natural man, the flesh man that limits God, and get to a place that you have an expectancy that all things are possible to him that believes. There's no limits on God. Now be careful at the question I'm about to ask you. Be careful. Are you one of those people that believes that God can do anything? I used to be, but I'm not anymore. Because I've discovered as I study the Word, there's two things God can't do. He can't lie, and he can't fail. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. He can't lie, and he can't fail. If he said it, you can count on it. I've heard it said so many times before by people throughout Christendom. Well, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, I got news for you, honey. If God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. If you want to be a recipient of it, then you have to believe it. But if God says something, it's yea and amen. Come to me. Whosoever will come. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how bad you've been. Doesn't matter how many times you've been told you'll never amount to anything. Doesn't matter how many times you've cursed God. Doesn't matter how many times you've been mad at him. The simple truth is, he says, come. I stand, knock on the door of your heart, and if you'll but just come, I'll meet you and I'll receive you unto myself, and I'll do in you what no one or nothing else can do. I'll fill that vacancy and that void that when we created man, when I created man, that I fixed a place in that heart and that spirit and that soul of a man that only I can fulfill. You can try sticking any and everything else in the world that it has to offer, and it won't fill that thing. There'll still be a vacancy. There'll still be an emptiness. There'll still be a void. It can be money. It can be accolades. It can be championships. It can be saddles, belt buckles, horse trailers, money. It can be whatever, but I want you to know that that stuff will fail you. It's a losing proposition in this sense. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? If you accomplish every dream that you've ever had, ever set out to achieve, cowboy, I want you to know that motor will wear out in that truck. That leather on that saddle will rot. That gold buckle will tarnish. People won't even remember you were last year's champion because they're focused on who's winning it this year. We got a professional fisherman sitting in our midst that's won some big bass tournaments. Probably half people in this world, well, probably more than half people in this building don't have a clue who you are. Don't matter. You know who you are. God knows who you are. But the point is this, championship stuff in a hole won't fill that vacancy, won't fill that void. Like that song my old buddy George used to sing. Tonight the bottle let me down and let your memory come around. The one true friend I thought I'd found. Tonight the bottle let me down. You see, I tried stuffing enough alcohol in this body for so many years to fill that vacancy and that void. And my bucket had a hole in it somewhere because it just kept more I poured in, the more it run out somewhere. But I want you to know on that morning of November that I've talked to you about, there was heart surgery done, and Jesus came and he lived in my heart and he changed my life. And he gave me purpose, and he gave me peace. Now, has it been without struggles and issues and battles? No. I live with Glenda. And she's been through those same battles with me. She's helped. Y'all give me a chance. She's helped me to overcome those battles. I better move on. Come to me, all. Learn of me. One translation says, learn from me. Here's some of the things that you can learn. I've already talked about it. He's the peace that surpasses understanding. He's the joy in the morning. He's the comfort when you lose a loved one. He's the provider when you're in need. He'll give you wisdom when you don't know what to do. He'll still be a light through his word, a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. He'll still whisper in your ear, go this way. Stop. Back up. Wait. He'll tell you when it's time to be still, for the battle's not yours, but the Lord's. Then he'll tell you when it's time to fight, because he says in his word, there shall not be an enemy stand before you against whom you fight. See, there's times you've got to fight, then there's times you stand and watch God show up and show out. But you got to get your marching orders from him so that you know what to do when. Learn of him. Learn of his power, his forgiveness, his faithfulness. Learn how he makes a way where there seems to be no way. Learn that he never fails. Learn that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Never to leave you, never to forsake you. always right there, closer than the breath you breathe, because he's inside of you in the form of his Holy Spirit. Thirdly, it says in verse 29, you shall find rest. I was talking to Duke, like I do every day, and his old crazy horse run over me 17 months ago, the week before our rodeo, that first rodeo we had, and it messed up my left shoulder, and I was hurt for a year. No sooner it got well, I bought a new horse, that black horse out there from up in Missouri, and that sucker bucked me off. Hurt my right shoulder. 17 months I've been hurt. 17 months. I haven't slept more than an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20 minutes max without having to get up. And I'm tired. But one thing I want you to know is every time I need it, the Lord comes. He says, you know, his word says, when I am weak, then am I made strong. God's grace, he will come and he will breathe a breath of energy and strength and life into me. And will you too? That's the things that we need to learn. That's the things that we need to come into his place and find rest for our soul, for our bodies. Because the mind is, as we know, is the devil's playground. And he's winning the battle in a lot of you. And it's time that you put him in his place. I'm going to read one passage of Scripture, and then I'm going to close. Drop right down the page to verse 9. And see, the religious leaders, they were constantly trying to entrap Jesus. In the preceding verses, disciples walk through the cornfields, and they yank them some corn, and they start eating some corn. Well, they get all bent out of shape about that, about his disciples not honoring the Sabbath and eating that corn. And he kind of gives them a lesson about David and the showbread and different things like that. But we pick up on verse 9 where it says, now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if he falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as his other one was. You've heard me give this example before, and I want to share it with you one more time tonight. We know from this story that here's a man that's got a good hand and he's got a withered hand. Good hand representing, you fill in the blank, his education, his ability to make money, his good looks, his athleticism, his beautiful wife, whatever, something productive and useful in his life. This withered hand represents something that's keeping him from being the man or the person that he needs to be. Maybe it's an addiction or something of that nature. Maybe it's a physical problem. Maybe it's a relational problem. Whatever it is, but it's something from that's ugly in his life. Something keeping from that man to being the person that they want to be or that even God wants them to be. And in the King James Version, Jesus said, stretch forth thine hand. But he didn't say which one. We have people in all denominations of churches, every time we gather together, they'll have a witheredness and they'll keep it in their pocket because they want everybody to see that good hand. They want everybody to see their goodness. That's why we wear the fake smile. But if we could dare be like this man and pull that withered hand out of her pocket and say, Lord, here's something ugly in my life. Here's something that I have tried to overcome, something that I have tried to fix, something that's holding me back, something that's keeping me from being the person that you desire for me to be. Here it is. If you can do something with it, here it is. I promise you, if you're sincere and you give it to God, he'll do something with it. He'll make it whole. Would you bow your heads? Maybe you're in this house tonight and you'd say, Dennis, I am weary, and I need to run to Jesus. I need to come to Him, lean on Him, rely on Him. Just as a point of contact, is that you? Raise your hand. I want to see anybody anywhere. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, hands everywhere. Thank you. Thank you. Slip it up. Slip it right back down. Thank you, sir. Maybe you're here and you're like the second story that I read, and you're that man or woman that's got a witheredness of some sort in your life. Maybe it's unrepented sin. Maybe it's keeping you from being in a relationship with the Lord. Maybe you don't even like yourself because of what you've done. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a broken marriage. Maybe it's a struggle in finances. Regardless of what it is, if you have that witheredness tonight that you want to hold out there to Jesus, swallow your pride. And could I see your hand? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, ma'am. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Dennis, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. And I'd like to repent of my sins and ask Him to forgive me and to come into my life. Could I see your hand? Anyone? Anywhere? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Slip it up, slip it right back down. The Word of God is clear in that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God that came to this earth for one purpose. That was to seek and to save that which was lost. That's me and you. He stayed faithful to the mission, and He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross and died a cruel death. Shed innocent blood for our sins so that He could walk out of that grave on Easter Sunday morning, first day of the week. He's seated at the right hand of the Father according to the Word of God, and one day He's coming back to this earth to get us. So if we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. Now let me say this. Believing in Him is different than just acknowledging that He exists. Believing means is that I'm going to, as best I can, adhere to His teachings. Try as best I can to live up to the example that He set for me. So with that knowledge, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And the really great thing is God looks at your heart. He knows if you mean business or not. So let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I do believe that You love me enough to die for me. But You didn't stay dead. You resurrected, and that You're alive today. I ask You, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with Your blood, to come into my life and be my Lord. Help me, Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, to learn Your voice, to learn Your word, to learn Your ways, so that I can live a life that's pleasing to You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, You saw many hands go up across this place of people that are in battles and struggles. God, as they come to You tonight, we know that You'll in no wise turn them away, nor will You turn a deaf ear unto them. But I pray, Lord, that You'll use these obstacles and these battles to fortify and strengthen their faith, to refine them, to cause them as they lean upon You to come through with a testimony of praise on the other side, on their lips. God, I ask You for those that are hungry and dry and thirsty in this battle, that tonight, Lord, You'd refresh them. Lord, that You would give them a fresh dose. Lord, that You would give them a fresh drink from the fountain tonight. Let them, their spirit man, be reinvigorated tonight, that they'll leave this place energized by the power of your Spirit, we'll be sure to say thank you and to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to let Nathan do some announcements here in just a second. But before he does, I...